So this is the Edinburgh Reporter podcast, and today I'm with David Martin. David, what's your official title at the Hidden Door Festival?
Well, my official title is Creative Director of Hidden Door, and also, I guess, the founder of Hidden Door.
Yeah, so you told me recently that actually I thought Hidden Door started in the place on Market Street, the Arches, but you told me you'd started it before then.
Well, Hidden Door started off as a kind of chat with me and my art students. I teach at Leeds School of Art, and we were trying to figure out what on earth they were going to do with all their art once they left the school, and trying to encourage them to do some kind of DIY exhibition. I was always a big fan of DIY pop-up kind of stuff, and I was like, why don't we put on an exhibition? Maybe we could, you know, get a pub and put some art up and even get some bands to come and play. And that's where it started. And that was in 2009. And then someone mentioned, why don't we do it in the Roxy Art House, as it was called then. And basically I went and had a look and I thought, oh, this is a bit big. And then that's kind of where it started, really. So in 2010, we ended up putting on this event that was quite really DIY, very DIY, if there's such a thing.
So you've come a long way from
yeah,
there.
It's good. It's good fun.
You've come a long way.
Yeah, we have. Well, we did a couple of things that year. The first one was in January 2010, and we loved it. It was like a sort of collect. We didn't even know what we were. We didn't know if Hidden Door was a collective, or if it was a festival, or if it was just an event, or how. We didn't have a clue really how to market it. But we did have this quite clever idea of involving a lot of people, and getting all of them to bring all their friends and sell tickets, and we had two sort of ticket slots. So even though the Roxy only had a capacity of 500, we only put it on for 2 days. We sold 2,000 tickets.
Wow.
And we thought, this might work. But then, when we were like doing all the, you know, we're counting up all the cash at the end, we found out that the bar at the Roxy had made more money than we had in the tickets. And that's when we thought, actually, we need to run our own site, we need to run our own bars, and the bars will fund it. People might not want to pay to see art, but they definitely want to pay for a drink. So
we should probably
explain
where we're actually standing right now is on the north side of the Granton Gasometer. And this is where Hidden Door Festival is going to be in September. It's the 15th to the 19th, isn't it?
That's right.
That seems a long time away, but you're already in big planning mode here.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a long time away to us. When you look around this site here, you can see rubble and lots of bits of broken stuff and weeds everywhere. But looming over this kind of open site is the gasometer, which is this 157-foot high steel gas tower, which is kind of like an iconic industrial landmark. And I've always like thought it was amazing, and I actually didn't know you could get up quite this close to it. So when we were in the middle of lockdown, the sort of second, the winter lockdown, and we were thinking we need to do an outdoor Hidden Door. We were scooting about the city trying to find anywhere at all, because Hidden Door's always been indoors, and we've always used buildings, you know, and this was the first time we'd really seriously kind of dealt with the idea of doing something in the open air. Like what normal festivals do, really, but that wasn't the sort of way we were running things. But driving around, you know, cycling about and kind of peering through these railings at this gas tower, and one thing led to another, and we eventually managed to get onto the other side of the gates, and we're in this big fenced kind of yard, really, a sort of industrial yard that used to be part of the Granton Gasworks.
I had got this wrong, because I thought you were going to be in the park on the south side of the gasometer, but actually this is quite a discreet fenced area that you're going to have the festival in. So this is, and some of this is hard standing, some of it is tarmacked. So this is actually a lot easier than the grassed area I had envisaged you in on the other side, which has got hills.
Yeah, I mean, the kind of park on the other side is quite nice, but there's a lot of challenges there, bizarrely, even like just digging into the ground to secure something like a stage. There's a lot of problems with that, because the gasworks and the chemicals and everything that have seeped into the the soil, actually. Yeah. It's not safe.
Yeah, but you've got quite nice tarmacked area. I mean, they're almost like roads.
I'm glad you think it's nice.
Well,
I'm not sure I think it's nice.
It's going to be nice. You're going to make
it
nice.
Oh, my word.
But what I mean is you've got some quite flat areas, because I know you're going to put up things like stretch tents and stuff like that to protect people a little bit from the weather, if there is weather. And but this is going to be quite nice. Now, how many people do you don't really know how many people you can get in here, because you don't know what the level of restrictions will be.
I mean, that's been one of the huge challenges of trying to kind of plan an event and with so much unknown. I mean, we could have just knocked 2021 on the head and just gone all the way to 2022, but we thought it was important that sometime in 2021 to put something on for artists and musicians who haven't had anything for so long. So we were determined to kind of find a way, and we've basically come up with a sort of quite a flexible model where we're planning for 500 people, but and 500 people can fit in the site easily, obviously, and they can be
we're about 2 meters. We're at least 2 meters.
We're about 3 meters apart.
Meters
I can hardly see you over there. I mean, it's the size of a sort of football pitch really here. But we can fit more people on here, in this area if we're allowed. So if we can go up to 750, we will. If we can go up to 1,000, we may do that. But it's not just about the physical distancing. It's about the facilities. It's about the kind of congestion at bars. How many people can we
deal with it?
Actually, how many people can we make sure have a really good time and come here and not feel that they're just sort of having to wait around a long time.
Standing in a queue is a festival thing, isn't it? You stand in a queue for everything.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
That's not really what you need right now. No.
We want it to feel special for people that come, but at the same time, we don't want it to feel like lonely, like they're the only ones here. Where's the crowd? Where are the people? It will look very different, I think, when we...
Can you give me any idea how different it's going to look?
Well, I can try and...
Visualize
paint
it.
A bit of a
You're
picture
artist,
in words.
David.
I know, but words are these are pictures, Philip. We're going to build two stages. This was a slightly radical idea, I think. We're going to build two stages in the middle of the ground. So normally you'd have expected a stage to be at the edge, and we thought for a long time that's what we were going to do. But actually putting the stage in the middle, I think, will be really interesting, because it will sort of create a sort of central tower almost that people can kind of orbit around. The thing I was really worried about with such a big site was the kind of, the school disco syndrome, where you turn up to a big hall and everyone's kind of clustered around the edges and no one's in the middle. So I thought, well, we'll put the stages in the middle, we'll put them back to back, one pointing towards the gas tower and one pointing towards the coast. And then we're going to sort of alternate the music.
So that makes swapping things over with any wipe downs and stuff, that makes it reasonably easy.
Absolutely, you've got that little bit more time. Uh-huh. So when one band is sort of playing a set, we're setting up the one for the next stage, and stages aren't playing into each other, they're sort of playing away from each other. So even if there's a little bit of overlap with the occasional clatter or buzz, it's not going to be a problem.
And can you tell us who's coming? I do know Pictish Trail's coming.
We're really excited to have Pictish Trail coming, because normally, Johnny from Pictish Trail, who's a real inspiration to me as a figure in the Scottish music industry, sort of, part of the Fence Collective, which was such an influential movement in Scottish music. And then he went to Egg and set up his own record label, Lost Map Records, and then set up his own festival there, and it's usually at the same time as Hidden Door, so I don't get to go, and we can never get him to come
him
and play.
To you.
So now we've changed our times from sort of early summer to September. He's able to come, and he's dead excited about it too. So he's such a great guy, and I think he'll put on a really good show. I went and saw him play in Glasgow when live gigs actually happened. I think it was 2019 at some point, and it was such a good gig. He has so much fun when he plays. So it's going to be a really upbeat opening night. And then the next night we've got a band from Manchester called the Oriels, who are a mainly kind of female kind of indie band. And they're this thing great, quite beautiful, uplifting, jangly, dancey, upbeat kind of indie tune. So that's going to be a kind of the guitar night, really. Mm-hmm. And I think I've got a lot of friends who want to come to that. And then on the Friday, we're kind of shifting it to a little bit more of a kind of disco, funk, afrobeat kind of feel. We've got an amazing band called BBO Sound Machine, who are based down in London, coming up to make us all dance. And they've played at Edinburgh Jazz and Blues Festival before. They played Edinburgh a few times. So we've, again, tried to get them before. So it's exciting that they're eventually coming up here. There's quite a lot of them, though. So it's going to be a real party. And that's the real idea for the whole of the program, actually, is that we're trying to put on an upbeat, really kind of positive feeling event, and we're going to push it to the max on the Saturday night. We're taking a different little sidestep for Hidden Door. We're moving into a more pop kind of territory than we would normally do, with an amazing artist called Hannah Diamond, who is one of these kind of pop personas, who's kind of crafted a very kind of unique, quite kind of futuristic kind of pop persona for herself. Confusingly, she refers to herself as HD, and that's what we call Hidden Door. So it's going to be HD at HD. And we're not going to know which one's which. But
I can see the posters now.
Yeah, but she's, I'm so excited about it. That's what I'm most excited about on Saturday night, just because it's new, it's different. It's going to, I think, appeal to, you know, a younger audience as well. And it's clever pop music. It's not commercial schmaltzy pop music. It's quite knowing, quite smart stuff. So I think it's going to be a great, great night. And then we're going to close it off on the Sunday with an electronic artist called Rival Consoles, who we've worked with before at Hidden Door. He actually played at King Sables Road, and he played at Leith Theatre, and we love him. So we thought it was great to bring him back, the sort of closing party. And the music is just, it's brilliant, it's really upbeat, quite euphoric kind of music, and hopefully we'll have a great dance. I think, you know, after everything that we've been through, I just want to dance.
Yeah, I think we all do. And of course, down here, I mean, apart from the seagulls, we're not really going to be disturbing anybody desperately, are you?
We've not got so many
close neighbours. I know there's some nice houses up behind us here at Granton, but
yeah, we're not too worried about them. It's the Social Bite Village, actually, are our neighbours. I don't know if you know about the Social Bite Village, but it's a homeless, it's a project to kind of help with the homelessness situation, giving houses for people who've been homeless.
Yeah. And they're called tiny houses.
They are amazing houses as well.
Yeah, they're two people. Each one's for two people.
Oh, brilliant! Yeah, they're really, really great. Yeah. But they've been fantastic. Anyway, you know, Social Bite, in terms of chatting with us, and we're just wanting to make sure they feel like included in part of it, and you know, that they know exactly what's happening. So it will be a bit of disruption for them, but hopefully they'll get a lot out of it. You know, and
maybe they can help you somewhere.
Maybe we can help them.
You know, the other thing that I wanted to ask you about, that's not just all music. You've got lots of other stuff going on here too.
Yeah, we do actually.
So when do you put that on, in between times or all the time? Or?
Well, Phyllis, this is maybe where I give you a little scoop here, but we're not just going to be using this site. So we have right from the moment I was like looking through the railings at this derelict yard, thinking about doing it, was aware that there was another potential space very nearby that we could use too. I'm not going to say
a drum roll coming on.
I'm not going to say too much about it, but we have an excellent add-on, shall we say, to this site that we're going to use for our theatre and dance programmes. There's going to be some I think it's going to be quite spectacular. And it's covered, which is very nice. So even if there's a little sprinkle
of rain.
Even if there's a little bit of rain, we're going to be okay. So that's a nice thing as well. So yeah, we're going to have theatre provided by Tortoise in a Nutshell, who are an amazing Edinburgh theatre company, and they're going to give us a fantastic theatre production of a show called Feral.
Yeah, they're bringing that back, aren't they, after a number of years.
That's right, yeah. They produced it maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And we decided that it was a particularly apt kind of show for what we wanted to do here. So we're going to show that, and we're putting together a dance program. But these programs are all taking a little bit... Well, we're going to basically announce our programs one at a time. We're going to announce a spoken word program, and we're going to announce a visual art program as well. And now that we have a covered space, that completely changes how we can do visual art. Because before, we were sort of looking for visual art that would work outdoors, which is kind of challenging, really. I mean, with the kind of, you know, smaller budgets that we have.
Yeah.
But what we really want to do with all of it, including the visual art, but everything else as well, is support the kind of new and emerging artists who've really been kind of pretty much, you know, left behind in all of this, you know, the sort of emergence from lockdown and the pandemic. So with the visual art, we want to show new graduates who've not had a chance for a proper degree show experience, not really got their art in front of actual visiting public, and we want to give them that chance. And same with dance and the spoken word as well. So we'll be announcing that every couple of weeks. We'll chuck another bunch of stuff out there.
So it's watch this space.
Absolutely, watch this space.
HiddenDoorBlog.org, is that your website?
It is our website. We're actually, yeah, HiddenDoorBlog.org. We're kind of going to be changing our website domain, confusingly, quite soon. But that one will still get you to wherever we go.
And then you can find out details about tickets and everything.
Yeah,
else.
Tickets will go on sale, I think, Thursday, 1st of June, if this is already...
1st of July.
I don't know what even month it is anymore. Where am I? What am I doing? Yes,
well,
that's right.
We're in this very interesting space in Granton, David, and I know that you and your team will make it into something even more exciting. I'm sure there'll be fairy lights and... You know, this gasometer, we've already seen it lit up with fireworks and things with the help of Edinburgh College people who actually use this site. So I'm sure you're going to do something quite wonderful here.
Yeah, the Edinburgh College have been fantastic in getting involved with this project and letting us use, because this site is actually, you know, it's their site. And even more excitingly, they're going to give us the controls for the lights and the gasometer, so we're gonna make it.
You have such power now.
We're gonna make it sort of, you know, flash in all sorts of pretty colours in sync with the stage. So when the stage is going red, the gasometer will go red too, and it should make for quite an exciting visual spectacle.
I think it will be.
To go along with all the dancing.
We're looking forward to September already, but David Morrison of Hidden Door, thank you very much.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for chatting.
Thank you so much for listening to the Edinburgh Report. Listen out for more episodes coming soon, and make sure you don't miss any by hitting the subscribe button now. This is one of the platforms where we can help advertise your business to our listeners. Would you like to know more about that? Then email editor@theedinburghreporter.co.uk. And remember, you can subscribe to have our monthly newspaper delivered to you direct. Sign up today on our website, www.theedinburghreporter.co.uk.